Well, the who's who of the Great Lakes community is gathered in Chicago for the yearly Great Lakes Week. It's a series of conferences that bring together government officials and environmentalists to talk about the region's most pressing environmental issues. Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson is in Chicago for the event, and he joins us now for September's Great Lakes Month in Review segment. Gary, welcome back to Current State.
Hey, Melissa. Good to be back with you. Thank you.
It's been a while. Yeah. There are two conferences happening this week. The first is the Great Lakes Commission. That's the 60-year-old organization of government officials from the Great Lakes states and two Canadian provinces. What was at the top of the agenda for the folks at that conference?
Yeah, sure, Melissa. The commission, as you said, represents the governors of the eight states and two provinces. And whenever this is a traveling conference, so it goes to different locations in the region each year, and wherever they go, they try to, as best as they can, localize the agenda. And this is Chicago, the Chicago River connecting eventually to the Mississippi and through what is known as the Chicago Waterway System, and that is the primary vector for Asian carp. So Asian carp is at the top of the agenda. The representatives from the other states are sitting here anxiously waiting for updates from Chicago and other regional officials on the status of the carp. I attended a long session yesterday where they got a number of briefings about what's happening. And secondarily, we're still in algae season. Algae is still a big issue. Lake Erie's having a near record year with algae, and everybody still remembers the Toledo water problems from last year. So algae is also near the top of the agenda, and I think we can expect these two topics to be close to the top of most Great Lakes agendas for some time.
I understand you talked to two of the top officials, John Allen, who heads up the Office of the Great Lakes in Michigan, and Tim Eder, who's Executive Director of the Commission in Ann Arbor. What did they have to say about the Asian carp advance and Chicago's waterways?
Well, this is still, like as I said, the top of the agenda. You know, last year I interviewed Michigan Governor Snyder about this issue. He was visiting Chicago, and he expressed concern over a lack of urgency on the issue, and there was a lack of consensus, he felt, on what to do. And I asked John Allen what were the governor's sentiments at this point, and Allen indicated that, you know, the governor is a chief executive. Chief executives are not known for their patience when they're waiting for something to happen that's important to them. But Allen did say while there's no plan, there's no consensus on a long-term plan, both he and Tim Eder wanted to express to the region that there has been progress made on a shorter-term plan in an area called the Brandon Road Lock, which is downstream from Lake Michigan. And there's good consensus that that could be a choke point. All the parties in the region agree that it's something that can be addressed. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money, money always being a big hurdle. So there has been progress on what to do there. But on the bigger picture about physical separation of the Great Lakes from the Mississippi River system, no, the various sides are all entrenched in their original positions.
I wondered about that because it does seem like this is kind of perpetually at loggerheads. Anybody else at this conference that you've heard with anything at all, I don't know that innovative is the right word, but unusual as far as the Asian carp question?
No, I think you know, pretty much what is has been known, you know, is still the working material. As I've attended not only this conference but other conferences earlier this year, the issue of eDNA, which really set all this off in 2009, when the Notre Dame scientist using this new technology at the time, environmental DNA. Triggered all the alarms on Asian carp. I detect that has, while still viable, it's drifted into the background a little bit, and I think that's because while they get a lot of positive eDNA hits, the various agencies haven't been able to find many, if any, live fish. So It's sort of like trench warfare. You just got to keep on doing what you're doing.
You mentioned the algae season and, of course, Lake Erie, record algae bloom this year. In the spring, Governor Snyder and Ohio Governor Kasich pledged to reduce the algae caused by phosphorus runoff from agriculture by 40% in 20 years. Any next steps from anybody on how that will work?
Well, that's what everybody's waiting for. Everybody was very excited to hear the two governors make that commitment. What was in short supply was how are we going to get there? I think both Allen and Eder would say that there's no silver bullet. This is going to take time and energy by all parties, agriculture, municipal water systems. Everybody has to be brought to the table and make a commitment to this. The big thing that those two executives emphasized is that everybody now has bought into the fact that they're part of the problem. You know, for years, farmers, were kind of saying, "Hey, we're great stewards of the land. It's not us." But they can't get away with that anymore. So they know that they have to be part of the solution, and they're willing to do that. Now, the question with them is always, how much will they really commit? When it's when they're doing it on a voluntary basis versus being required to do it, so things are going forward, and hopefully they'll move quicker than slower, as Governor Snyder likes to see.
There's an economic impact of the algae problem in Lake Erie as well. The Cleveland Plain Dealer reported this week that the Lake Erie charter boat industry has lost 25% of its business and a whole bunch of goodwill as well. And they're comparing the economic situation to that of the Gulf after the BP oil spill. They might even seek federal assistance. What was the reaction of Allen and Eder to that characterization?
Well, they share the concern, as everybody does. Lake Erie has a world-class fishery. Literally, people come from all over the world to fish for walleye in the waters of Lake Erie, and that fishing industry is, all the tourism that goes with it is just taking a devastating hit. Both Allen and Eder share the concern. Everybody shares the concern. But, we got ourselves into this mess, and unfortunately, it's, as John Allen said, it's just not going to be resolved overnight. It's rather heartbreaking when you see this fishing industry. People have invested, their life's work in it to be, seriously impact. I know the one, the president of the Charter Association there, he said he doesn't know if he can survive another year. So it's on everybody's radar. It's a matter of how quickly we can move.
We're talking about Great Lakes Week and this month's biggest environmental stories with Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson. So another conference, of course, in Chicago, it kicks off later today, Healing Our Waters. It's hosted by a coalition of environmental groups. Do you think the conversation there is going to be significantly different from the commission's conference, or will it be pretty much more of the same?
They'll hit some of the issues that the commission has been taking up, Melissa, but the Healing Our Waters Coalition is almost singularly focused on securing federal money for Great Lakes restoration, and they've been pretty successful at that. They also will localize some of their agenda items. But they tend to delve a little bit more into the scientific weeds so than the commission does. So they're looking at topics like urban infrastructure, conservation. These are all good topics, but not necessarily spellbinders for the general public.
You had a recent column for Great Lakes Echo previewing the conference, and you described the Great Lakes community as a, quote, stay-between-the-lines bunch that favors collaboration over confrontation. What exactly did you mean by that?
Yeah, that's one of my ongoing themes, Melissa, and thanks for bringing it up. The broader community, the Great Lakes community, tends to favor a strategy that avoids confrontation. It would rather work with the polluters or the politicians who tend to turn a blind eye to environmental issues, to try to affect change versus confronting them. It's generally called the inside game, especially when they're working with politicians. It's rare that you'll hear Great Lakes advocates publicly criticize elected officials. There is a fear of losing access and influence. Other organizations, Food and Water Watch, and to some extent the Natural Resources Defense Council, have a bit of a different approach. They feel that when you're kind of playing the inside game, you have to make too many compromises to be effective. There's no right or wrong in this, but the Great Lakes community is especially focused on playing this inside game.
Finally, we have to get the oil question in here. Enbridge had an emergency response exercise for its controversial Line 5 pipeline that runs through the Straits of Mackinac. And roughly at the same time, Michigan Senators Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters were introducing legislation that would ban shipments of crude oil on the Great Lakes. What do you think is driving that proposed legislation?
Well, it's the continuing spotlight that's on the Straits of Mackinac pipeline that has been in the news in some form for 2 years now. And I think there's a perception that various state and federal agencies are moving too slow. The senators, especially Senator Peters, I think they want to be preemptive here when it comes to shipping oil on the Great Lakes in a vessel, which doesn't generally happen now. And also there are, keeping a spotlight on Enbridge. Everybody remembers that, that terrible Kalamazoo disaster from a few years ago. So I think the two senators are trying to be proactive and preemptive, and I think that's a good thing.
Gary Wilson is a Great Lakes commentator who is in Chicago covering the annual Great Lakes Week conferences and giving us his take on September's biggest environmental stories. Gary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Melissa. Bye-bye.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.